Hello and welcome back to the Pure Vacations podcast. This is episode 3. My name is Dan Pratt and I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Pure One Group. I'm joined by Wesley Baker, who's the CEO of Pure One Group and also best-selling author, I may add. And today we are going to be talking about...
I know there is actually. Yeah.
There is. But for the purpose of our listeners who may not know...
I'll explain it.
It terrified me, and I looked down, and I was just like, whoa.
But yeah, no, so I've been around the block a little bit.
Want people to leave their hotel, experience the gastronomy, experience the culture, experience...
But that's where they grow the muscles and everything else,
yes, exactly.
It?
And this is, I would say, one of the less explored areas.
I really want to go there one day. I read about that in your book, Wesley, and I've been to Barcelona, I've been to Catalonia many times, but I've never been there. It sounded so incredible.
Journey with us to the corners of the earth, where stories come alive and dreams take flight. From the bustling streets of Tokyo to the serene shores of Bora Bora, every destination has a tale, and we're here to share it. Brought to you by the man who's trekked the peaks, dived the depths, and explored the vast expanse of our beautiful world. Here's your captain for today's adventure, the seasoned traveler and the voice of voyages, Wesley Baker. And alongside Wesley is Dan Pratt.
Hello and welcome back to the Pure Vacations podcast. This is episode 3, and as mentioned in the previous episodes, we are going to be talking about pathways. So as you're probably aware, my name is Dan Pratt and I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Pure One Group. I'm joined by Wesley Baker, who's the CEO of Pure One Group and also best-selling author, I may add. And today we are joined by Pilar, who is the head of the Catalonian Tourist Board here in the UK. And she's going to be talking to us all about the beautiful things in the region, some top tips on where to visit and why you should visit. And we'll go from there. So first of all, yeah, I'd like to introduce Pilar to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it you do. And thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Wesley. Thank you for having me here. I'm Pilar. I'm the director for the Catalan Tourist Board. We have an office here in London, and we promote the UK and Irish markets. Like, we're in charge of the UK and Irish markets. We are looking for quality tourism to visit Catalonia.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And I think most of our listeners have probably heard of the big Barcelona, obviously, and things like that. So we're really looking into hearing more about the kind of niches. And Wesley, of course, is an expert on the area. So thanks for joining us, Wesley.
I wouldn't say that, Dan. I've lived in Catalonia, in Costa Brava, which is a region of Catalonia. And obviously, I've written 2 books now on that. In fact, 3, because the third one is a spy novel that actually incorporates Barcelona. So that's quite interesting. But yeah, no, so I've been around the block a little bit. It's probably, I would openly say, is one of my favorite places in the world. It's a wonderful region. And also with Pure One, we're going to be offering tremendous lot of new group tours moving forward. So we're quite excited about the opportunity that comes forward. But I think for the listeners, could you explain, Pilar, how is Catalonia broken up, the regions of Catalonia? And because a lot of the British that travel to that region tend to just go to Costa Brava, don't they? Or is that changing? Are they expanding out of Costa Brava?
Well, a lot of the British that they're traveling to Catalonia, obviously, a lot of them, they go to Barcelona. We know Barcelona is the gate to Catalonia. That's where we have more flight connections. But they also tend to go to Costa Brava. That's where the city of Girona is. And we also have an airport there with a lot of connections to the UK. And a lot of them, they also go a bit south of Barcelona to the region of Costa Daurada. This name might not be that familiar for people, but if I say Salou or Cambrils, that's where the region is. So
In the 1970s, 1980s, very big resorts. And that and the Rec de Mar further north,
exactly. The big resorts traditional were like in Lloret de Mar, where Costa Brava is, or Salou, Cambrils. We still have some resorts, but it's changing a bit to be more authentic. That's what we're looking for as a destination, to have that our visitors have a more authentic experience. So there are still some big hotels, but slowly, slowly it's changing.
So it's changing towards a more boutique and smaller.
Yes, we still have a little bit of everything on offer because everyone is looking for different things. But we try, before maybe the resorts were more all-inclusive as well, like people could go to the destination and not really experience the destination.
That's a resort killer. That's a resort killer. All-inclusive is a resort killer. I've always said
it.
We won't include any, within Pure One, we don't include any all-inclusive accommodation. It's not our, we don't believe in it.
Some big hotels are fine because everyone are looking for different things, but we want people to go to the hotel and then leave their hotel, experience the gastronomy, experience the culture, experience the landscapes of the destination. Otherwise, you could go anywhere in the world and your experience will be the same if you remain in the hotel. So we want people to adventure outside of their hotels.
Okay, so you've got the Costa Dorada, Costa Brava. What are the regions? What are the names of regions inside? I know there is actually.
Yeah.
There is. But for the purpose of our listeners who may not know,
I'll explain it. Yeah, so Catalonia actually has four regions. That's the Barcelona region. We have the Girona region, Tarragona region, and Lleida region. Those are the four regions. But as a purpose from the Catalan Tourist Board in a touristic way, we actually organize it in touristic brands. Because each region, it has a lot of different possibilities.
They're
so we
different.
Divide it in nine. Exactly. So we do Barcelona, and the surrounding areas of Barcelona are Costa, so the coast of Barcelona, and Barcelona landscapes a bit in inland. Then we have Costa Brava up in the north. If you continue to the left, we have the Pyrenees. So those are the mountains dividing Catalonia with France. Those are the mountains in between. Then we have Lleida, that's inland Catalonia, Terres de Lleida. And then down in the south, we have Costa Daurada, that's where San Luis is. And then we have Terres de where the Delta Ebro is,
but that's where they grow the mussels and everything else.
Is I would say one of the less explored areas in Catalonia, and it's a fantastic
I noticed you did a video recently on your Catalonian social media for that region with the mussels and everything else. I did see that. So that's interesting. Okay, so if you are looking for culture and history, obviously a lot of British will know Barcelona. They will have landed at Girona Airport, some people who may be flying in with some charter airlines or Ryanair as well. I know British Airways used to fly there. They don't anymore at the moment to Girona. They won't have gone to the city of Girona, which is a beautiful city. And a lot of people don't realize how medieval it is and how culturally it's wonderful. But there are other areas, other small towns and everything in the mountains and everything that the British won't have seen. They'd have gone to maybe Montserrat to go up to that's a common tour. Everyone goes to Montserrat when they go there.
It's a very good day trip, Montserrat from Barcelona.
Exactly.
I really want to go there one day. I read about that in your book, Wesley, and I've been to Barcelona, I've been to Catalonia many times, but I've never been there. It sounded so incredible. It's on my life tick-off boxes of places to visit, certainly.
And this year it has been the millenary.
I don't know. I know what you mean. It's a celebration.
Yeah,
a long time.
1,000 years.
But it's I mean, that's a fantastic experience, Dan, to go up there. It's a winding roads going up, and they often tie it up with a tour to a bodega or something like that when you come down, which is a good experience. The tours vary. I mean, it depends on the company you're going with and everything. I've been there so many times, to be honest, I've forgotten a lot of the intricate elements of it. Well, we can't wait. But what about where else? Is there where else would you sort of recommend as a small medieval town type of thing in Catalonia where tourists should be looking to visit outside of the major Barcelona, your Montserrat? I mean, we know Girona. Okay, so we incorporate Girona, but there are other places, and I know they're very beautiful. So I'm going to let you tell us some of these.
Well, actually, I'm going to say something. Next year from the Catalan Tourist Board, our focus will be on culture. So that's a great theme.
Oh, that's
yes,
good.
Amazing.
Yes, the main focus, just because of different factors. But, well, Barcelona, I know it is. We are not promoting it as per se, but it has been, next year will be the World Capital of Architecture. With this in mind, we are promoting, and also the Sagrada Familia will finish its main tower. So
yes.
This
so finally, it's going to be finished.
Well, the tower, and then there will be a few details, but it will be all.
I just got a story about this Sagrada Familia. Actually, I was never ever scared of heights. And I went there when I was a kid, when I was probably about 13, 14, it was fine, but kids are fearless. I went there in 2018 or 2017 with my wife, and we walked all the way to the very top and looked out the views and completely fine. And then as I was walking down that spiral staircase with the big gap down the middle, it terrified me. And I looked down and I was just like, whoa, this is, and Violette was like, well, this is a spiral staircase. It's no different. I was like, yeah, there's never like a 200-foot gap or in the middle. And I was walking down holding on to the handrails, literally one step at a time. I had a whole queue of people behind me because they didn't want to overtake. I was having loads of tuts, and from that point I got home, and since then I've always been a little bit wary of heights, which is really really strange. But ultimately I'm a big architecture fan, so the price to pay, I'm not really scared of heights. It just made me a bit weary on that moment. But
yeah,
the price to pay of being in the Sagrada Familia, looking up at the top, the views of Barcelona. It's actually, because I'm a big Gaudi fan as well. So it's absolutely incredible, that building. So to hear that it's going to be the tower, I cannot wait to get back and see that tower finished. That's going to be incredible.
I didn't think it would be in my lifetime.
No, it's been over 100 years, hasn't it? It's been constructed.
I've only ever seen cranes on it. Just cranes and cranes and cranes. But
next year is the 100th anniversary of the death of Gaudí.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So we want people obviously to explore the buildings in Barcelona, but there are a lot of buildings, unknown buildings or of Gaudí outside of Barcelona in other places. The birthplace of Gaudí is in Reus, in Costa Daurada. So there you can also experience some of his...
Where's the museum? There's a big museum.
In Reus as well.
It is. Oh, okay,
yeah, it is there. Okay. So you have a museum there. And then obviously we have a lot of cultures. So as we are in Costa Daurada now, you can go to the city of Tarragona. We have the best well-preserved amphitheater outside of Rome. It's in the city of Tarragona, and it's just right next to the sea, and it's beautiful. The place where it's located is just...
And is Tarragona popular? Is it still gradually coming up? I mean, to me, I haven't actually been to Tarragona in that respect to tour around it, and I'm thinking... I don't know many people that have, and so I'm wondering if it's still relatively unexplored.
It reminds me of like Barcelona many years ago, like
20,
in a smaller scale.
Yeah,
smaller scale, but it's a very lively city, full of culture. It has great restaurants as well to go. A lot of the restaurants with fish, seafood, obviously because it's just right to the sea, so a lot of local produce as well. It's a great city break as well. Like you have flights to Reus, but if not, if you fly to Barcelona, there's a high speed train that connects Barcelona with Tarragona, and you get there in 30 minutes.
Wow.
And what really station in Barcelona does that come from? Does that go from
Sants? Sants, Barcelona Sants. Yeah, you can go from there. Yeah, and it's fantastic. So from the airport, you go to Sants with a train, and then from there, directly to Tarragona. Seriously, half an hour is less than my commute in London from my house to the office.
That's so good. Correct me if I'm wrong, and like I said, the first time I went to Catalonia, I was 13, so my mind was Is the Salvador Dali Museum in Catalonia as well? Is it just that?
It is, yes.
Yeah, I remember visiting that. That was so incredible when I was a child. And I love it. I'm a big fan of his anyway. In my house at the moment, my wife's not, but I have his artwork up everywhere. And I remember taking my photos to get, back in the day when you had the old flash camera, took them to Boots to get developed, and about three or four of them got held back because of some of his paintings and things.
Yes.
Which I thought was brilliant. It's still living on, shocking people, like years after his death. But yeah, he's one of my favourite artists of all time. So if anybody's listening and you're in the area, that's one place not to be missed as well.
This museum is in a city called Figueres. This is in Costa Brava, not too far from Girona. So if someone goes to Girona, they can easily combine it with Figueres. You can take the train from Girona to Figueres. They have the museum there, and I believe it was last year or maybe the year before, they opened the, it's called Casa Natal, is the birth house of Dalí. So you can visit it now. It's a museum, and they have some of the old furniture, like the original things that were there. So you can also combine it if you are a fan of Dalí. And
I need to go back.
It's quite a tiny city, but it's a beautiful city as well. And I will say that it's a fantastic combination with Girona.
Yeah. Okay. And you've, oh, I know we've drifted a little bit, and we will drift back. But you've mentioned public transport quite a bit there.
Yeah.
So the public transport in the whole region, would you say is good? Would you say it's easy for people to do?
So the public transport is great. It's great to combine, to go from the main cities, from one main city to the other. So from Barcelona to Girona or Figueres, and then to go to the south to Tarragona, that's fantastic. You have the trains. The only issue, I would say, is if you want to explore further, as before you mentioned about the medieval towns, that I did not mention anything. So
no,
let's say we'll get to it.
Don't worry. We'll get to it.
You go to Girona and you want to explore these medieval towns that are around, like, the town of Besalú, that is a fantastic city, town, sorry, you will need a car to go a bit further.
Or a tour, whatever's going,
tour, you will need that, because the public transport will be complicated to go to these, villages. You can find buses, but it's a little bit more tricky.
Do you hear it? The world is calling. From untouched beaches to the heartbeats of age-old cities, Pure Vacations is your gateway to authentic travel experiences. We don't just take you to destinations. We dive deep into their soul. With expert insights, local secrets, and mesmerizing tales. Our online travel blog is your compass to the world's wonders. Pure Vacations. Discover. Explore. Be inspired. Your journey begins here. Visit purevacations.com.
Before we move on to one of the next subjects, I know Dan wants to talk about, because he's a greedy person. He's always on about food and drink. And we'll come to that, Dan. I'd like us to revert, just drift a little bit back to the other places. So we've done Tarragona, we've done that area of Costa Dorada. What about further north? We've obviously got Girona, but there's a couple medieval towns in that, isn't there? Where else would you say would be a great place for somewhere else to go? Can you think of one?
Around the city of Girona, like
anywhere in the region.
To the Pyrenees, I think it's an area, especially now we've seen a lot of more British tourists. They are interested in some active and being in nature, like maybe as a contrast from people living in London or in big cities, they're looking for outdoor space. And the Pyrenees, we have Romanesque churches. We have some Romanesque churches, and there's a nice hike, soft hike, that you can go from one to the other, and you visit towns in between as well. And I would say this is a beautiful experience and something very different to do from the traditional Catalonia that people might have in mind.
And you go through. I was going to say people can go whitewater rafting and stuff up there as well, can't they?
Exactly.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
The good thing about culture, I think, is as well, you can combine it with a lot of different things. So you can go and do So this like hiking and then visit churches and then stop in a local restaurant in the middle of the mountains in a village and like eat really authentic Catalan cuisine from the mountains. So what we are trying now is to understand that you might be going to a destination because you want to immerse yourself in, or you want to go and see a museum, or you want to see a specific church, but you do a lot of things when you are there. So you can immerse yourself fully in the Catalan culture.
Super.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us on nicely to food and drink. Mm-hmm. Because Dan is sitting there smiling away. I mean, I love the food and drink in the region. But could you perhaps, I mean, I know you were focusing a couple of years ago, and you may still be doing on the food tours and everything that were a particular food tour or food and drink tour that you were doing around the whole region. Can you just kind of describe that atmosphere to someone who's never been to your region at all, or maybe not even been to Spain, but never been to Catalonia and doesn't know really what to expect on the food front and culturally how that is. So the sort of dishes that you'll find as you travel around the region and the different drinks as well. That would be if you can. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
So let me first mention that this year, so 2025, Catalonia was awarded World Region of Gastronomy. So it's a very important recognition. Yeah, exactly. For us, food and wine tourism, this is our culture, it's our essence. For us, it's not like we just eat and that's it. It's a whole ceremony. You eat with your family, you eat with your friends, you spend time cooking. The whole process is important.
Yes.
We love local produce, things you eat seasonal food, fruits, vegetables, you try to eat seasonal. And it changes a lot as well, depending on where you are in Catalonia. So all the regions near the sea, obviously they have a lot more seafood and fish in their meals. And then the Pyrenees and the mountains, it will be more meaty and maybe heavy dishes because it's colder up there. And then inland of Catalonia, you have a lot of fruit. There's a lot of fruit trees. So we have a mixture of everything, and it changes a lot depending when you are, where you are.
So what's your favorite dish?
It will actually be a kermit. That's the thing that I miss the most when I'm here, and it's something called fuet. Yes. It's just like a dry sausage. Yes. And for me, the simplest thing every time I go there is just pan tumacat. That's a slice of bread. We use tomatoes, fruit tomatoes. You wrap them on the bread. Then you put olive oil, a bit of salt, and a slice of fuet. And for me, this is just...
I haven't had my lunch yet, and I'm absolutely... My tummy is rumbling. So if anybody hears any rumbles, then it's not your phone going. It'll be my tummy. I absolutely love Spanish food and Spanish drink as well. And that's one of the favorite things about Spanish culture for me is, well, many, many things. But I think Spanish food ticks all the boxes. It's healthy. It's indulgent. It's sweet. It's, like you said, summer. It's winter. It's literally everything. If I only had to stick to one type of cuisine now for the rest of my life, I'd probably choose Spanish.
Fantastic.
It is nice. And funny, that particular dish, apart from the sausage, I do at home quite often now. And only the last week, actually, I was slicing up a French bread and making it all and doing exactly the same. And the kids said, here he goes again, you know, with his bits and pieces.
It's a lot more tastier. I don't know why people eat the bread only with butter or olive oil.
Yeah, I know.
With the tomato and everything.
It's good for you. It's good for you as well.
Healthy as well. It's indulgent, mm-hmm. but healthy indulgence. It's rich flavors, but not necessarily. It's not unhealthy, is it? That's the great mm-hmm. thing. It'd be great. So if anybody's listening, like I said, there's so many reasons why you should go to Catalonia. It's a specific reason of Spain, obviously. It's the culture, the food, the drink. One thing I'd like to talk to you in a little bit about, I think Wesley's got a few questions before, but it's about the language as well. Mm-hmm. So when I was at school, I learned Spanish, and my best Spanish is Hola, mi amo Dan, mi cumpleaños es 29 de enero. Quiero un hamburguesa con queso y cebetha.
No one can understand you. No one can understand what you're saying, Dan. That's the problem.
That's literally the most I can say.
No, you did it very well.
However, two of my friends, and if you are listening, Blanca and Adam, Blanca is from Catalonia. And he's learning Catalonian rather than Spanish. And when I discussed it with what I learned at school, which was Spanish, and versus what he's learning and what Blanca teaches me and things like that, there are some slight differences, aren't there? So
well,
do you want to...
It's a different language. People might think it's a dialect, but it's a different language. The same as Italian and French are different languages. We only that we share it and we are in the same country. And in this particular region, Catalonia, we speak Catalan and Spanish. They have similarities. They are both Latin languages, but the same as we have similarities with French or Italian. It's just that some words might be the same, some words are completely
different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's important for listeners, because it's important to hold on to that native language, because a lot of people may just assume because Catalonia is in Spain, you speak Spanish, but it's not. Yes. It's like the same as Welsh and English, for example. Very close in the same place, but very different languages.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that in the major resorts, Dan, when you're going to your Lloret de Mars, your Tossa de Mars, your Blanes and places like that, you'll find Spanish is very strong in the hotels and everything because they tend to employ a lot of people up from Costa del Sol and everything that come up and work in those hotels, or they used to. I don't know if they still do, but once you get outside of the big towns, that's where you find the Catalans being spoken a lot more.
Well, yeah, 100%. If you go to all of these small towns that I was mentioning, Girona, in Figueras, even the smaller towns, you will hear people speaking Catalan. It's our language. It's
a beautiful
part of our
language
culture
as well.
And who we are. And people will appreciate a lot if you go there and you try to say, even good morning in Catalan, you say bon dia. People will love it. Thank you, you say gracias or merci. And it's just a small gesture and it will be greatly appreciated.
That's one thing important. I learned is, Blanca always says bon dia to me. And and I love the sound of it. It's just, it's a beautiful language.
It is wonderful. And of course, I learned that. I learned Catalan when I was in living there in 92. I'd already knew a few words anyway, Dan, because of my visit started in the 1980s. But when I was living there in 92, and of course I went round my friend's house and he wasn't there, but his parents were, they encouraged me in. And that's when my relationship really built, because they sat there. I didn't speak much Spanish or Catalan and they were just talking Catalan fully. But over the months of me visiting that house, I became pretty good at it for a while anyway. And we would have conversations in Catalan. And I think that's why I probably absorbed the culture of the region very much. And it is so important, close to my heart, because it means something to me. I have that connection. And I think for the tourists visiting, I think that is an attraction, actually, when you go into an area, because, you know, it's not just another part of Spain. Spain is very beautiful as a country anyway. It has so many beautiful areas. It's like I always compare Spain to a continent, if any, like the United States, because it does. It has, the north is wet and rainier, still mild, but wet and rainier. You have the mountains, which have snow. You have the extreme heat. You have deserts. You have the green fields as well. It's just such a beautiful country. And then Catalonia itself is full of, within itself, also has regions that are geographically very different. You know, the geography is different. The further south you go, it's more deserty, a little bit more, well, not deserty, I would say a little bit more drier.
Yeah, we have deserts in the south, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And then as you go further north, you go, the geography does change, Dan. So, you know, once you go north of Barcelona, normally about 30 minutes north of Barcelona, it becomes very hilly.
Mm-hmm.
And the coastline, instead of being straight, long, straight straight beaches, it becomes small coastal bays and beautiful beautiful little areas where, and if you can get on a boat and get to visit these, it's fantastic to see these little places.
It is
beautiful. And of course, one of the popular places to go is the botanical gardens at Blanes, for example. And that is a beautiful place to visit if you're in that region, just to go and see everything. I've been there so many times since the 1980s. I really have. I know that, and it doesn't change, Dan. Honestly, the place is still the same place it was in 1984. You know, it's incredible.
I can't wait to go back. I haven't been there since 2018. Then obviously, well, I became a father in 2020, then COVID hit and I've just not been able to get back. But in fact, I am turning 40 in January, and I'm arranging to have like a little friends trip, like a week long weekend away to celebrate it, rather than just going to a pub in London or wherever. I want to do something a bit more special. And I'm thinking of a particular region to go to. I don't want it to be too far because I don't want it to be too expensive for people. And again, flight times and stuff. So I think you've just decided for me where I need to go.
You mentioned as well that you are keen on gastronomy and wine. So there are plenty of options there. We have wine regions there as well that are less known that in other countries and less explored, and they are absolutely fantastic, and it's just a 2 hours flight away.
Exactly, it ticks all of the boxes, and it'd be rude not to, really. So I think, yeah, you've decided for me, so thank you very much for that.
Well, we can't wait. On another note, I just want to ask you a question, Villa. What local drinks should people be looking to have when they come out? Alcoholic drinks. I know there's lots of soft drinks, but if they're coming and they wanted a local drink, a traditional drink, what would they look for?
I would recommend to try vermouth. Yep. I'm pretty sure you've tried it.
Oh, it's all in my book, trust me.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I've had that. Yeah, because a lot of people just think of sangria, don't they? They just think of sangria.
Oh, no, no.
I mean, you know, but that's just standard, isn't it? I mean,
that's not traditional from Catalonia. So,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly,
obviously, yeah, you can have it, but I would recommend to have vermouth. It's an aperitif drink. It's in the city of Reus, actually. I've been talking a lot about Reus, but a lot of things happen.
You like it. You like it down there, clearly.
There's a vermouth museum there. You can also go to some, I would say wineries, but vermouth, I don't know if the name in English changes. But there's a vermouth route, but in any bar, in any terrace in Catalonia, you can sit down there, even in winter, in the sun, enjoy a vermouth with some olive, with some anchovies, with some crisps, and then have a fantastic and a very traditional thing. We love to eat and drink. it's part of our culture. So it's very common on the weekends. You meet with your friends at noon. You sit down in a terrace. You have a vermouth. You have a glass of wine. You have a beer, and then you just talk a bit before lunch.
And there's so many good conversations about every single Spanish person I've ever met has always been really friendly, really opening. Whenever I've been to Spain many, many times, and I've always just made friends with people. That people are so generous there with not just advice, but like you said, with food, with stories. It's just a very happy place to be. And I think it's fantastic. And that you've summed it up perfectly, the essence of that. And
I want to say one thing here. A lot of people may not realize that your region has actually got an awful lot of winemaking going on as well, hasn't it? Yeah,
yes.
Tremendous lot of winemaking going on. I mean,
so
I remember
we have 12 denominations of origin. One is for cava, but 11 are for wine. So we have small denominations of origins. We have wineries around all of Catalonia.
Yes.
The two main places, south of Barcelona, so Penedès, that's very well-known, like Torres Wines or Codorniu, Freixenet, like those are for cava. And then in Priorat, the smaller wineries, but Priorat is actually a DOQ. So there are only two DOQ in Spain. One is for Rioja and the other one is for Priorat.
Oh, interesting. That's really interesting.
I have one quick, quite key question. So for anybody listening, if you were thinking of going and inspired, which is the purpose of this podcast, to go to Catalonia, and you wanted to kind of put together a bit of a plan of what to do and where to go to when you were there, Pilar, could you give us kind of like what would you do over a 4-day period? Where would you start? Where would you go? What would you eat? What would you drink? What would you see?
Dan, are you trying to organise your weekend away here?
This is secretly. So basically, it would be between the 3rd and the, if imagine metaphorically speaking, hypothetically speaking, rather, it'd be between the 3rd and the 7th of February. No, I'm joking. Yeah, yeah. But if anybody's listening, what is like the must sees? What are the must kind of the jewels in the Catalonian crown? If you're only there for a week or whatever it may be,
outside of Barcelona.
So outside of Barcelona, and any particular interest, or I can do anything.
You've got to sell this now. So someone's listening and said, you know what, I want to go to Catalonia. I'm going to go off season, so I'm not going to go in the peak of the summer. So in this case, Dan wants to go in February. So what would you say would be a good three or four day trip.
I'm going to give you two different trips, okay? So one, that's the one I will do, but this is because also my family are from the region. So I will go towards Girona. Girona area and Costa Brava area is my favorite region. Sorry for the rest of the region.
It's mine as well, so that's fine.
I think it has a bit of everything. The same as Catalonia, but for me, it has a special place in my heart. So I would go to the city of Girona, visit the city. We have, if you want, there are Michelin star restaurants, you have local produce, you have a bit of everything, and you have culture. Then you can rent a car, and you can go and visit some of the coastal towns that Wesley was saying. They're very authentic. They still the same, like from my childhood till now, they have barely changed. And they, you can walk. There's a coastal path that goes through the villages.
That's beautiful. I see a lot of that on social media. Yeah. There's a lot of it being shared at the moment, this year in particular, which has been the coastal path down the Costa Brava.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of my favorite coastal paths. And then you can do that one day, just spending time in the coast. And then I'm using Girona as a base, so one day. Yep. And then the other day, you can go a bit inland of Girona, we'll say. You can go through the medieval town of Besalú. That is incredible. And then continue a bit more, and you will arrive to the city of Olot. That's where my family lives. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And people don't realize, but it's a volcanic area. So they are volcanoes. Obviously, they are not active. But they are incredible.
I remember when we first met at a trade event, and you were trying hard to sell me that region. Yes. Now I know why.
For me, it's all my childhood memories.
Beautiful,
And you can hike up one of the volcanoes, and you can visit, and also a fantastic gastronomic spot. There are a couple of restaurants with Michelin star restaurants stars there, but there are also a lot of local produce. An experience that people love to do. We have a hot air balloon experience there that you can take it and fly over all the volcanoes, and it's a natural park. So, I don't know a single person that has done this experience that they are not in love with the region.
So that is really special what you just described there. I think that's something that we've unearthed a little gem there, Dan, because that is something that not a lot of people would know about. And we've opened it up. So next year you'll be complaining because we've sent 2 million people to this one location, and your hometown will be overrun.
Yes, no, but seriously, I would 100% recommend it, and you will have a very authentic experience as well in that region. And there, people will appreciate so much if you say something in Catalan, because most people there, their main language is Catalan.
Yeah.
So this is one of the options. And then if people want something different, I will recommend them to go a bit south. So near Tarragona, if they want to check something cultural, they can combine Tarragona and Reus. Reus with modernist buildings, Bermúdez, and Tarragona more with historical buildings. But I will 100% recommend them to go a bit inland and visit different wineries. The small wineries we have, the town of Falset or Gratallops, they are small villages, and almost in every village there's a different winery. Yeah. And most of them are family run, and
it's beautiful.
The red ones, especially in that area, are one of the best, one of my favorites.
Yeah. That's you've just sold the region. I think you couldn't have done a better job. I know we didn't set out to do food and wine. That's another one, but it's been fantastic.
I felt it had to be talked about because it's so nice. We could not have you on and not mention it. So,
Well, I think we'll have Pilar back another time.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was going to say, I think we'll have you back another time. I think there's a lot more that we can sort of home in on and you know, really be specific about a particular subject because I think that's going to be a good idea. Anything else, Dan, you want to throw on?
No, the last couple of things I just wanted to say is anybody listening, obviously, if you go to purevacations.com, we've got lots of information on there around Catalonia and around lots of other regions. But just wanted to give you an opportunity, Pilar, where would be a good point of reference to send our listeners to for additional information as well from your point of view? What's your website?
Your website and everything. That'd be fantastic.
Our website is catalunya.com. It's okay. The name of the region.
Yeah, so anybody listening, go to catalonia.com, like Pilar said, loads of information. And don't just go to catalonia.com, go to Catalonia as well, the actual place.
Very well said. Yeah, but you go there after you've checked it out first. That's the most important thing. Okay, I think that's great. I think we've done really well. It's been super having you here, Pilar. I really, really do appreciate it. And you've given passion and drive of the region. And I think the listeners will certainly feel that you've enlightened them a lot about the area, and I think that is exactly what we set out to do on this podcast. So thank you ever so much for that. I can't show my appreciation more than what I'm trying to get out with my words at this moment.
Good. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. So any final words before we say goodbye to our listeners from yourself, Pilar?
It's been a pleasure to be here. I really hope I've managed to share a bit of my love from my country, my region. And if you go to the website, you will find a lot of ideas, activities that you can do, hopefully any sort of inspiration that you need, the final push to decide going to Catalonia on your holidays.
One thing, Dan, I do want to cover it because there's been some press about it, but I think, you know, now we've got Pilar on, she can just sort of answer it really straight. There's been a lot of this negative press about Barcelona and you know, Airbnbs and everything else. And I have strong views that there's plenty of hotels, small guest houses and everything else. You don't need 50,000 Airbnbs in the city of Barcelona. And I think Barcelona's had a little bit, there's been all these rumors about, oh, Barcelona's empty now and everything else. That's not the case. And it's a great region to go to. Can you just confirm that to our listeners that Catalonia is open for business and it really should be a place to go?
Catalonia is 100% open for business. Obviously, we have had some issues with over-tourism, but we are working towards improving, towards feeling the visitors welcome in our destination. I think it's something happening across all of Europe. Maybe it was not managed properly in some places, and Barcelona was one of those places, but we are making all the necessary changes.
Exactly. And I think you said the important thing there. You said it's just in Barcelona. It wasn't the region either. And this is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Barcelona was a city people were going there, and I know exactly what happened and why. But I would personally say Barcelona is a fantastic city, fantastic place to go. I love it. Well, I've slept on the street there, not intentionally, but it just happened. It's a safe city. It's a nice city. But I would say that outside of Barcelona, if you should go out, you should, when you look to go to the region, don't be stuck up on Barcelona. It's wonderful to visit. Maybe visit it for a day if you wish to, but really go elsewhere, because if you just venture outside of the city limits, you will find a different world, and that is the world you should be looking for.
Wesley, we can hire you to work here. You just say what we say. You can visit Barcelona for a day, but please explore the rest of of the region.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for that. That's good, isn't it?
And thank you very much for joining us today, Pilar. And I hope our listeners have been inspired. So like I said, go to catalonia.com for their website and specific information about that. And you can also go to purevacations.com with lots of inspiring...
I think we've got about 10 or 12 articles on that region. So
yes, yeah, we do. So as well as looking at our website, do sign up to our newsletter as well, which is on purevacations.com. There's a box you'll see, and we'll be sending you lots of interesting nuggets of information as well. So, but yeah, I just want to say to everybody, as usual, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you listen to us. Myself, Wesley, and Pilar have really enjoyed our conversations today, we'll get Pilar on again, definitely. But in the meantime, like I said, check out catalonia.com. Check out the region, and until next time, I hope you all have a lovely rest of your day, a lovely rest of your week. Thank you so much for your time today, and we'll speak to you all very, very soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
As the sun sets on another journey, we fold our maps, pack our memories, and get ready for the next adventure. Every voyage may come to an end, but the stories, they linger, resonating in our hearts. Remember, every destination is a doorway to a new experience, a new story. Keep exploring and keep dreaming. This has been Pure Vacations with your hosts, Wesley Baker and Dan Pratt. Until next time, let your heart wander and your feet will follow.